Latter-day Saint Home Educators is pleased to bring you this audio presentation recorded live during the May 2015 Home Education Conference held in Williamsburg, Virginia.
Welcome, everyone. My name is Jessica Croker, and this class is entitled Family Fitness When Spending Evenings and Weekends at the Soccer Field Just Isn't Your Thing. And so here I am teaching a family fitness class. And part of the reason I'm here is because we met together as an adult conference team last summer, and I said, we need a class about family fitness. And they're like, well, you're a yoga teacher. You can teach that, right? And so here I am because we needed a class on this topic. But I want to give you a little bit of background on my experience in my life. I have never been an exerciser. I was not an exerciser growing up. I was not athletically gifted. As a little girl, I was the oldest of five children and had four younger brothers who were exponentially more coordinated than me. And I really grew up feeling like I was just kind of fat, awkward, and out of place. That's really how I felt. Because my body developed at a different rate and I looked so much different than all the other people in my family. And if I did something involving a ball, I was not good at it. And the smaller the ball, the worse I was. I hated running. And just always saw myself as someone who wasn't athletic, wasn't fit, and really didn't like my body. Didn't like it. And then I went away to college and started dating this boy who was an avid cyclist. And so I could ride a bike. And I thought, well, I'll just be a cyclist with him. Then he'll think I'm cool. And I would go on mountain bike rides with him and do things that scared me out of my mind, but I really liked him. And so I would do them anyway. And so then we started going on bike rides that were less stressful, not down steep rocks, but maybe out on roads through the grasslands in Cache Valley in Logan, Utah, where we went to school. And I started really understanding what it was to experience my body and to enjoy my body. But that took me until I was, 18 years old to really get to that point where I could enjoy using my body in a physical, active way, because I was not made to be an athlete, and a lot of us aren't. And so I just thought that since I'm not an athlete, I don't exercise. That's just who I am. That's just how it is. I hate running. I can't catch balls very well, and so that's just how it is. But as I started riding my bike with that cute boy who eventually became my husband, I could see that I could do things that were hard. I could push myself beyond limits that I didn't know I could before. I could start riding my bike for 20 miles and then maybe 60 miles and then maybe 100 miles. But it was something I didn't think I could do. Later into adulthood, after my babies started coming, and long hours of riding my bike just was not a possibility, I decided I should just be a runner. It wouldn't take very long, right? I should go on a run. So 5 minutes, maybe. I was like, I'll run for 5 minutes. And the whole time, I was thinking, when is this going to be over? I hate this. I hate this. And then my knees would hurt and my, you know, I would be sore and miserable and worn out, just totally worn out. And then I discovered yoga. It fit me, right? It fit my personality. It fit the way my body works and moves. And I found something that I loved to do. I found how to connect my breath with what I was doing and to really love and enjoy my body. Now, part of the reason that we're on earth, we know this as Mormons, is to get a body. We're here to get a body. It's one of the main reasons we're here. And we're through our culture, our bodies are either objectified, right? And we see your body as like a masterpiece to sculpt, that you need to turn your body into something by your hard work and brute strength. Or, you know, a lot of Western thought and traditional Christianity has taught that our bodies are filthy, dirty things, right? But we know that our bodies are eternal and our bodies are divine. Our bodies are our tool to help our spirits really be able to accomplish what it is that Heavenly Father's sent us on earth to do. And so as I myself got to the point where I felt comfortable with my body, I felt thankful for it and enjoyed it, I realized that I needed to figure out how to help my children develop that. Whether or not they could easily hit a ball with a bat or run, but that we need to understand what it is, what physical fitness really is. So when I say fitness, what do you think of? When I say physical fitness, what does that bring to mind? What do you think of?
Calisthenics.
Marathon training. Marathon training. You know? Sometimes it conjures an image, right? Like six-pack abs. Skinny people. Right? And so that's what we think of when we think of what physical fitness is. And it's kind of an external thing. When you look fitness up in the dictionary, there are several different definitions. And the first in the dictionary is the condition of being physically fit and healthy. So you lack any disease, right? You don't have any diseases. The second is the quality of being suitable to fulfill a particular role or task. So he had a year in which to establish his fitness for the office, right? It's training for a specific task. And so, you know, synonyms to that would be suitability or capability, aptitude, preparedness for a specific task. And the third one is biological fitness, right? An organism's ability to survive and reproduce in a particular environment. So when we think about what that is, and what physical fitness is for us as human organisms, we need to be able to survive. We need to be able to perform all of our vital biological functions. We need to breathe and eat and digest and eliminate and move and reproduce. All those things are encompassed into what physical fitness is. Six-pack abs don't matter, right? You do not need six-pack abs to reproduce. But you do need to have healthy internal organs. And the way you use your body, the way you hold your body throughout your day, the way you move can affect those things. It's not just what you eat or your genetics, but actually what you do with your body will affect the health of all of you. And your fitness is your ability to perform all the necessary biological functions that the human body is designed to do, and its ability to work, play, and perform all the tasks we need and want to do with all the energy needed to feel vibrant and capable. So I have a picture here of a crested gecko. Just imagine, there's a picture. And we had these geckos when a few years ago when we lived in Colorado. They're super cute, they don't have to eat bugs. And so it was nice. They'd eat baby food, like rotten fruit and stuff. But you keep them in a cage, and a cool thing about a crested gecko is that they have a prehensile tail. They can use their tail like a monkey does. And so they hang from branches, and it has a sticky pad at the end of it, just like their paws do. They can use it to help them climb on things because it has a sticky pad. But one thing that often happens to crested geckos when they're in captivity is that they get floppy tail syndrome. And their tail just kind of flops over because they're not using it. Because maybe they're in an aquarium that doesn't have very many branches for them to hang from with their tail. And so then their tail just atrophies because it's not being used. But then that atrophy in those muscles, those tail muscles, spread to their pelvis, and their pelvis starts to kind of come apart, and it really hurts their whole spine, right? And it's just because they're not using that tip of their tail. The tip of their prehensile tail affects their whole entire body because they're not using that. They're not putting loads on that part of their body to strengthen all of their inner parts. So they get floppy tail syndrome. So then if that happens to your gecko, you have to make it lose its tail. You have to pull it off, it'll lose its tail, and then it'll heal up and it'll be okay. But if they live with that floppy tail, then it's bad. So have you guys ever seen pictures of killer whales at SeaWorld? What happens to the male killer whale's big, tall dorsal fin? What happens? Flop! It flops over. And the reason that happens is because they're swimming counterclockwise. They all do it. They swim counterclockwise for their whole lives. They're swimming the same distance, right? They're swimming all day long as a killer whale out in the wildwood. But a killer whale out in the wild will swim really fast in a straight line through the waves in really, really deep water. And so then there's all this water pressure on that dorsal fin. And it's using that fin to help it steer through this water. So it's being used in the way it's intended, and it also has the proper loads on that tissue to help it stay strong. But if it's not used in the way it's intended, then it atrophies and falls over. Those are really obvious examples of diseases of captivity that we see in the animal world. So I want you to think about what kind of container you are in, what kind of container that your body is in. And we can think about what are some of those diseases of captivity that the human body experiences. What kind of container can you think of that you guys are in? The house. Chairs. Okay. This is our, we all have super good skills at this. Like, most of us, from a very, very young age, we're told to sit down and be quiet. And we trained ourselves. We worked hard at this, right? We have ninja-like sitting skills. We have trained long and hard from the time we were little tiny, tiny, tiny to do this. What is the human body designed to do? Is the human body designed to do this all day? No. So what happens when we put our body in this kind of position all day? When we put ourselves in this container of a chair, what happens? Have you seen people that walk like this? As we age, right? We start to get hyperkyphosis of the spine. That is just like the floppy fin on a killer whale. That's our floppy fin, right? What about lower back pain? Have you ever heard of anyone that has lower back pain? Do you have lower back pain? Right? Okay, so look at your spine. If you look at your spine, you have a curve here in your neck, your cervical spine. It curves this way. Then you get to your thoracic spine, where your rib cage is. It curves this way. Then you get to your lower spine. It curves this way, right? And then you get to your sacrum. It curves this way. The strongest mechanical arrangement of things is an arch, right? We have lots of arches in our spine. They're designed beautifully to hold our weight when we're moving, when we're standing. But what happens when we put ourselves in this container and we go like this? What happens to the curve in my lumbar spine? Is this my natural curve? It's backwards. So we're spending how many hours a day backwards? Putting our bodies backwards? So what if you follow the recommended 20 minutes of exercise a day? What if you do that? You run, or you get your 20-minute walk in, but then you do this all day long. Is that going to help your body be able to function the way that it needs to? So one of the things that we can do is just to think outside the chair. As homeschoolers, we have the freedom to do that. We don't have to put our kids in a chair all day and tell them to sit and be quiet. We don't have to put them in that kind of a container. We have the freedom not to do that. And so one of the first things you can do to improve your physical fitness and the physical fitness of your family is to move your body while you're studying, to sit in a different way, and understand that you're just honoring the architecture of your body, the way it's designed. I have a really cool slide here an anthropologist has sketches of all of the different ways people have sat for centuries outside of the chair. And so you can do this with your kids in your morning devotional. You just sit on the floor, right? And here, what's happening to my spine? When I'm sitting here on the floor, I could just let go of my lumbar curve, right? But I can sit up straight and practice that. Then I'm engaging all of my core muscles, the deepest muscles in my spine. I'm reading to my kids, I'm doing school, and I'm improving my physical fitness, right? So when we're just like laying on the couch and stuff, we're not putting the proper loads on our body to help maintain our natural needed strength. And so you can just incorporate those kinds of things into your day. And then maybe for a little bit, you'll come up on one knee and play Legos for a little while, right? Or as I was writing my talks, I just used the coffee table as my desk so I could sit on the floor and I can squat and read while I'm working. I can put one knee down and work a little bit. Other knee down, work a little bit. Change the way you're sitting throughout your day. And that will greatly improve your physical fitness. And teach your children to do that, that your body needs to move into different positions. One thing that happens when we sit in chairs is we have this muscle called the psoas, the iliopsoas muscle. It connects here on your inner thighs. It goes up over the iliac crest of your pelvis, and then it comes to your lower back with fingers and attaches to these lower seven vertebrae. And what happens to muscles when, you know, we know that they like contract and extend. If you've got a muscle that's contracted, that muscle that's contracted by sitting for hours and hours and hours, your body is like, why do I even have this muscle as long as it is? We might as well just be a little bit more efficient. I'm going to hold in this position all the time, so I'm going to shorten. And so then, when we try to function and do other things, our lower back hurts because we've shortened this muscle that connects from here to here, right? So that's another one of those diseases of captivity that we have as human beings that have put ourselves in the container of the chair. And the cool thing is that as homeschoolers, I mean, we intuitively know that little kids should not be sitting in chairs at desks all day, right? We just intuitively know that. Another thing, well, I want to talk a little bit about our cardiovascular system. How does that work? We have a heart, right? And what does our heart do? It pumps, right? That's been our understanding of it for a long time, is that what our heart does is it pumps. And so our heart, all by itself, is pushing blood out to our whole body. And that's what the cardiovascular system does. Just our heart is pushing blood out. Well, when you do an experiment and you measure someone sitting still and you listen to your heart, to their heart, or you try to monitor what it is that their cardiovascular system is doing, that's true. The heart is pushing blood out into the rest of your body. But if you really look closely at someone that is moving their body, you have veins and arteries that go out, but what happens after the veins and arteries? What else are there? You have capillaries. Capillaries. Almost every single cell in your body has a capillary that goes to it. So when you're moving your body, the part of your body that is moving draws blood into it, through the capillary action. So when you just run, I'm going to run, I'm moving the same thing over and over and over again, right? So what parts of my body are going to get more blood? All of it? Is all my body going to get more blood? Just the parts that are moving, right? Just the parts that are moving. It does, it makes your heart beat faster when you run. And it does strengthen your heart muscle. But the parts of your body that are going to get more nutrients from your blood flow and more waste elimination are the ones that are actually doing the movement. And so you can do crunches over and over again and really strengthen your six-pack, your rectus abdominis, and look fit, right? But because you've just done that same movement over and over, you've got an overdeveloped muscle in one area, and so you've created weaknesses in others. And your body is like, I'm sending lots of energy here, but really what we need to do is just move all parts of us. And there's so many things that we just don't even think of as movement. When I say, did you move today? What do you think of? Like, yeah. did I do housework? Did I? But we need to move all parts of our bodies to really maintain our ability to perform the task that we need to perform. So you need to exercise those muscles at the back of your eyes by going outside and looking at the thing that is furthest away from you and trying to focus on it. Because what's your disease of captivity? What box have you put yourself in? That we hold something close to our face most of the day, right? But that is a part of our physiology that needs to get moved. You can think of eating as a movement, right? If you need to develop jaw strength, your jaw needs to move. And we know that from like babies' development, breastfeeding changes a baby's jaw development because of the way that they're actually moving their body. And so if you're eating things that are super easy to chew all the time, you're not giving your body the loads, your cells the loads that it needs. So another example of having loads on our cells so that they can strengthen themselves are trees that were planted in Biosphere 2, which was the dome that they built in the Arizona desert trying to make a complete ecosystem. They planted trees, and they had beautifully composted soil. And they had all the sunlight that they could need. So these trees grew really tall, and then they fell over when they got tall. Because, does anyone know why they fell over? Has anyone heard about this before? There was no wind. They needed stress. Those cells needed stress so that the cell walls could strengthen. And so our cells themselves, deep down on a cellular level, our cells respond to the stress that's put on them, to the loads that's put on them, to the way that they're moved and squished and bent. And so that's one cool thing about yoga, that these ancient Indian guys in caves figured out that I feel a lot better and I stay healthy a lot longer if, you know, I move my body in all these different ways. So that's super important. And so you can just open your paradigm of what exercise and physical fitness is by just understanding that you can incorporate that into all parts of your day. And it doesn't have to be training for a marathon and following the training schedule. And it doesn't have to be getting in your 20 minutes of cardio, right? But that you can just be moving in all different ways as you're doing the dishes or as you're reading. Stand at your kitchen counter and do some of your work standing, you know? And then maybe have a chair and put your foot up on a chair while you're standing and working, right? Just move your body in all different ways. Have any of you heard of the sit-to-stand test? So researchers were trying to figure out a way to monitor the physical fitness of people 50 and older. And they found a really, really simple test. So you guys can get up and try this with me. You don't have to, but it's fun. So you start standing up. And get to a place, like come to the center or up here to the front. You start standing up, and then from standing, you go without your hands to sitting crisscross applesauce on the floor. Okay? And then here's where you get your score. Then you just go from sitting back up to standing without touching the floor. If you need to use a hand, if you need to use a knee, if you need to use something to help you get up, you get a point. So lowering to the floor and standing back up, each one. So I guess that you get scored lowering down. So, and they're scored on a 1 to 5 scale. One point subtracted each time a hand or a knee is used to support yourself to get up. And then you can see where you are on a 10-point scale. And they found that more than cardiovascular fitness, when they measured people on a treadmill, they were able to predict whether someone would die within 6 years on how they did on that test. If someone scored below a 6 or a 7, their likelihood to die within 6 years was really high. And that was for adults 50 and older. But you can just give yourself that test, right? And by just incorporating movements into your everyday life and what you're doing as you're going through your day, you can greatly improve your physical fitness and give yourself a little bit of a test. Okay, so then what else do you do, right? What else can you do with your kids to help them really enjoy their bodies? Because there are benefits of doing team sports and doing things where you learn the rules, or you have to make yourself do something really hard, or you have to work as a team. So, you know, this is all well and good. Yeah, I can incorporate movement into my everyday life, but then what else should I be doing? And how do I make it fit into my family as a homeschooler with a lot of kids, right? So when I had four-year-olds, when I had little kids, I just didn't think it was necessary to have my kids start playing soccer. I didn't think it was necessary to put that stress on my family schedule and have to be running back and forth and nursing a baby and doing all of that kind of stuff. But then, you know, your kid gets to be 8, and I felt like they might be ready to go do something, and they're behind, right? Because everyone else puts their kids in soccer when they're 4. So what do we do? How do we deal with that aspect of our culture as homeschoolers? One suggestion that I have that has worked for our family is just find something that everyone can do at all different levels. And we fell into karate because I had my oldest daughter in dance, a little dance class, with a friend who just taught it in her basement. And she was a ballet instructor, and she taught all the girls in our homeschool group ballet in her basement. So then we moved from Ohio to Colorado, and I asked Brenna, well, do you want to find a dance class? And she was 8 at this time. And she looked up at me and said, Mom, you know, I have really just been more into martial arts. And I just thought that was super cute and hilarious, because when really you've been more into martial arts? But that was just something that she was attracted to. In her mind, she thought that that's something she wanted to try. So she started trying karate. But the karate class had all different level of kids, right? And the older kids taught the younger kids how to do things. The older kids were the ones that that led the warm-up exercises at the beginning of the class. And so then my little people could join in that too. And it worked out really well for our family to do something where all of them could go together. So it was 2 nights a week, but it wasn't one kid here this night, one kid here the next night, one kid there the next night. So we weren't running, I wasn't running around feeling like my time was being wasted, but they were getting that group teamwork experience. Another thing that's helpful is just to get a homeschool group together and play sports. So I see Allison here. She's in our homeschool group. We get together on Fridays, and we have PE. And there's a mom that will teach PE. And we've had it structured so a mom will teach for 6 weeks and she'll teach this thing this week. She'll teach them some martial arts 1 week, and then they'll try kickball the next week, and then they'll try, you know, they'll try a series of different things over the course of those 6 weeks. Or we're going to play volleyball for 6 weeks, and everyone's going to learn the rules of volleyball, and we're going to play volleyball for 6 weeks and do that together. And that's doable, even if you just do that with another family. It can be hard to do team sports by yourself with just your kids. I think you guys probably have tried to play soccer in your backyard or something like that. We've tried to have family football games on Thanksgiving with, you know, but when you have someone that's one and someone that's 58, it's different kind of experience than it would be if you, so use your homeschool group and use those resources of each other and take turns teaching each other's children and learn the rules of the game, how to do it, become acquainted with it in a non-threatening way, in a non-judgmental way. And that's super helpful. But another thing that we need to do with our children is spend as much time as we possibly can being outside. You need to be outside. We need to get out of our containers. The human body is made to walk. And the more time that you can spend walking, the better and more healthy all the parts of your body will be. And the best kind of walking is going on a hike, because then your feet have to balance on all different kinds of terrain, right? And you get to use, I mean, you have more joints in your feet than anywhere else in your body. You've got 33 joints just in your foot. And so then there's another thing. We put our feet in containers too, right? So then they don't get the chance to move and use all 33 of those joints. And so we get older. As we get older, those joints kind of all lock up. And the fascia on the bottom of our feet starts to get inflamed. And so then we have plantar fasciitis. Has anyone experienced that? And then that radiates, can radiate to the rest of your body. So you need to move all the parts of your body in all different ways. Going on a hike is super helpful. You can go up and hang from tree limbs. You can climb up rocks. You can balance on logs. But it's an uncontrived way to move your body in all different ways. And you, the mom, while toddlers are walking this pace, you can go back and forth. You could take bigger steps and move and get more movement in as they're moving. You can incorporate those kinds of things into what you're doing as you're hiking. But that also gives your body a chance to move in other ways, like you feel the wind. Your hair follicles get a chance to move in ways that they don't in your contained environment. You get goosebumps. That's a movement, right? That our bodies need. Our cells need to experience those kinds of movements. And we insulate ourselves from those because we use air conditioning and heating. You know, we just need those kinds of experiences in the world that Heavenly Father has created for our bodies. So spend as much time as you possibly can outside. As the mom, you need to set an example. And so you need to find something that you like to do and do it regularly. And let your children see you do it. And maybe sometimes let them do it with you. You just need to show them that your body is your temple that you love, that you honor, that you reverence. And so you're going to honor that architecture, the cool curves in your spine that Heavenly Father's created, and the 33 joints in your feet. That's pretty amazing. But you need to bring your attention to that stuff, to notice that you have those parts, and you need to use those and find a way to feel joyful about that. And so for some people, it might be training for a marathon. I know for me that that is not helpful because it completely drains me to go running, and I can't be nice to people. You have to find that balance where you are filling your need for your body, your own unique body, and helping your children understand that they have their own unique body, and it's their responsibility to explore how to use it and notice how different things they do make them feel. So we're going to do a little bit of yoga, a little bit of chair yoga here. We've got a few minutes still. Sit with both of your feet flat on the floor. Just bring your hands to your lap and close your eyes for a minute. Make sure that your legs are parallel with each other and your toes are pointing straight forward. And then kind of scoot forward on your chair so that you're not leaning back, but you can sit tall. Bring your hands to your lap and just close your eyes. Notice how your body feels and see if you can make your spine as tall as it can possibly be. And feel the natural curves in your spine just effortlessly stacking on top of each other. Open your eyes and then just inhale and reach your arms up. And then exhale your hands down back to your sides. Inhale and reach your arms up. And exhale your arms down to the side. Inhale, reach your arms up. This time, exhale your right hand to your left knee. Bring your left hand behind you and just twist. Look over your left shoulder. And then come back to center. Inhale your arms up. Exhale your left hand to your right knee. Long spine, then look over your right shoulder. Come back to center. Reach both arms up. Open your palms, close them. Open, close. Faster, 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 faster. Okay. Open and close your hands. Open, open, open. See if you can open your fingers. Keep opening your fingers as wide as they possibly can. Open. And then come back to your fist. How are you feeling? Can you? Is this hard work? Okay, keep breathing while you do this. All right, shake your hands out. Bring your hands together. Bring your forearms parallel to the floor. Can you notice what your heart's doing? Did you move very much? No, but you did get your heart rate up just by moving your fingers. Okay, rotate your fingers down. Look through your little carpal tunnel here. Stretch your fingers the other way. Let go of your hands. Bring your left knee up to your chest and see if you can just cross your ankle over your knee. Flex your foot. Get a long spine. And then just lean forward any amount. You can feel that in your hip. Experience your hip. Enjoy it. And come back up. Just switch sides. Bring your left foot up. Flex your foot. Get a really long, tall spine. Draw your heart forward to fold. Keep your right foot flexed. And come back up. Bring your foot down so you're in your equal seat, palms face up on your lap, and close your eyes again. Just notice how your body feels. Can you feel a difference now than what you felt before? Can you feel that difference? You can go ahead and open your eyes. So what's the difference? How do you feel? Relaxed? Relaxed. Anyone else? Enlivened? Like your blood is flowing better?
Looser.
Looser. Looser. Yeah. Yeah, we've been doing too much sitting, right? Here I am giving you a talk about sitting and you're sitting. So what do you think that kind of stuff does for our learning? How much movement did we just do? Not very much, right? But how does your mind feel now? Awake. The most powerful tool that I've used in my family is just to incorporate some movement, exercise time into our morning devotional. We don't do this every day, but probably 3 times a week we do. We have our morning meeting time. We all get together. We work on memorizing scriptures and poems. We read some history, and then we're done sitting for that time. And I have 6 kids, and so what we'll do is just go around the group, and everyone will pick out something that we're going to do for 2 minutes or less. So usually, like my 2-year-old wants to skip. I mean, three. She's 3 now. My 3-year-old wants to skip, and so we just skip around the house, and it's noisy. We sound like a herd of elephants, and there may be some moms that would freak out, but we just skip around the house for 2 minutes, okay? That feels good. That feels good. Then maybe my 13-year-old will want to do standing long jumps in the kitchen, and so we all stand, and I have pictures of these things. They're super fun. Just imagine you see our whole family. We're standing at the edge of the kitchen, and then you see how many tiles you jump. Everyone gets their turn to jump. And then maybe it's my turn, and so we'll do sun salutations of yoga. Or I'll make everyone hold a plank pose for as long as they possibly can, right? And then another kid will want to do army crawls, and we'll do laps of army crawls. And that's hard work. That's really hard work, because that's all core. But we've got, by the time we get through, all 7 of us, then we've got at least 20 minutes, really, of really getting our heart rates up and putting all different kind of loads on ourselves to help strengthen our bodies. And we can notice the difference. Who cannot be happy after you've skipped around the house with the 3-year-old? Or had the 5-year-old teach jumping jacks, you know, and like try to figure out how to be coordinated. And it's hilarious. It's so helpful for our day to start off that way, because it clears your mind, right? And it gets your blood flowing in all parts of your body. Well, I have a cool picture of my husband when I was talking about setting the example, right? He is a competitive cyclist. So I have a really cool picture of him mountain biking with this thing. And then my next picture, here's my Ian doing a bike race, doing the kids' bike race. He's 7 here. Up here, this is my now 3-year-old teaching all of her babies a yoga class. She got every yoga mat we had and set them out. And so she's teaching her yoga class to all her babies. So isn't that awesome? But really, it's from our example. Another thing that we've done in our family is to set a goal and work to achieve it. And I've spent almost an hour telling you how much I hate running. But for Thanksgiving, we decided that we were going to do a turkey trot 5K. That we would train for that, and that we would do that all together. And if we could finish it in under 45 minutes, then we would get a cool trip to an indoor water park. The actual race was not the hard part. It was the training part. It was consistently going out every day and following. We just followed a Couch to 5K training program. But we did something hard and we did something together, and we had to help each other stick to it and do it and see if we liked it, right? And you just follow something through to the end, and you don't have to do that thing again if you don't like that thing. I mean, I knew I didn't like running already, but just like I know I don't like peas, I still show my children that I'm going to eat my peas. And so the things that I ask them to do, I'm going to do with them. And do something that's out of my comfort zone. And do it together. Super bonding experience for our family.
Go ahead. Did your little ones run as well? Or did
no. We just had everyone that was over the age of 10. So when we did our training runs, we made like a little route in our neighborhood and just kind of like did laps like we were going around a track so that my little kids could ride their bikes back and forth, and we were just kind of all circling around each other. And that's how we did it. And my three-year-old, she just walked the dog, and I felt safe in my neighborhood that, you know, I could always see where she was the way we were. Sometimes I pushed her in the stroller, but when we were running more than a mile, I couldn't do it while I was pushing the stroller. But it's good to do hard things. You don't have to do them all the time, but it's super helpful to set goals. And just to give your children the experience of doing something really hard, and that we need to be able to push ourselves beyond what we think our limits are. And our bodies are really good tools to teach us that. They really teach us that I can feel uncomfortable here, but I am not going to die. Even though I feel like I'm going to die, I'm not going to die. And we teach our nervous system, we teach our brains that we can do something out of our comfort zone. And we'll live to tell about it. I just want to end by saying that our bodies are God's crowning creation. When he created the universe, he organized elements and put them into more and more refined conditions. And then he created Adam. And then from that most refined stuff, he created Eve, right? He couldn't create Eve until he had something really good to create her out of. I hope you can feel that truth of how important our bodies are for our eternal progression, and that Heavenly Father gave them to us to enjoy. And give that knowledge to your children. Body image is so important. And it's something that Satan is really good at attacking. I don't think that there's a woman in here that has escaped the onslaught of darts that Satan throws at us to tell us that, you know, our bodies aren't right because this is supposed to be my masterpiece. I'm supposed to sculpt it. No, this is your tool. Right? To go out and serve the world. And it does not define your worth, but it's an instrument of your worth. Does anyone have any questions in the last few minutes that we have? So she just mentioned something called Brain Gym, which actually helps develop your brain by moving your body across the meridians. And it's so important that we do that, those kinds of things, that we crawl, right? And that we get that proprioception, our body awareness, to know this is my right and this is my left, and I'm going to move my right over to my left, and I'm going to move my left over to my right. And that's not just a physical thing that you're doing, right? Nothing is in isolation. Our bodies affect our minds and our spirits. Our spirit affects our mind and our body. It's all cyclical and it's all connected. And so if we can work on taking care of our bodies, we will help our minds and our spirits. So varicose veins on the back of your knees. I'm not like, you know, I'm not a doctor or a physical therapist or anything, but sitting in chairs really contributes to varicose veins. And so moving in all different ways, and like yoga poses like downward facing dog, and doing those things where the backs of your legs are stretched, that can really help your circulation there. Any other comments or questions?
Yeah. You mentioned this morning something called yoga glow that you do with your
children. Oh, yoga glow.
Is that what it's called?
So it's, I don't do it with my children. I just do it for myself. It's online streaming yoga, and you'd pay a monthly subscription. But that's my yoga instruction most of the time, because I don't have time to go out of my house all the time. But it's yogaglow.com that I use. And sometimes if I'm doing it while my kids are awake, then they will do it with me or climb on me while I'm doing it, you know. Yeah. So Heather just said that her family's done skill-based classes for soccer things. Do you do that through your local rec center? Have you done those through that? Or do you just do that with your homeschool group?
Like the catered homeschool.
Okay, yeah. Private homeschool things or families, yeah. And that's super helpful to do that. Thank you for your comment. All right, well, thank you all for coming today. You can come later.
Latter-day Saint Home Educators is a nonprofit, all-volunteer organization dedicated to providing inspiration to homeschool families. We hope you enjoyed this recording. If you are interested in listening to more recordings or would like to participate in a future conference, please visit our website at ldshe.org.